The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. We've been talking a little bit about the mayor's attempts to hire Randy Mastro, the former deputy mayor under Rudy Giuliani, as his new corporation counsel, which I think is a great idea. I have a lot of respect for Randy Mastro, and I think whatever Mayor Adams does to hire more alumni from the Giuliani administration, that's something that will inure to the benefit of New York City. But a lot of folks have been wondering, why did the outgoing corporation counsel, Sylvia Hines Radix, step down to begin with? A fascinating article in the New York Post, and if this is accurate, I think every New Yorker ought to know about it. The Adams administration's top attorney apparently raised concerns over having New York City represent the mayor in his sexual assault lawsuit and found out in the news that she was being replaced. So evidently, the Post is reporting the relationship between Sylvia Hines Radix and City Hall began to sour over the past few weeks as she raised concerns over using the law department in his defense in this lawsuit. At one point, City Hall even asked the 73-year-old attorney to step down, but she refused. They begged her to resign, a source told the Post, adding she wanted to blow it up. It wasn't until that she was blindsided by the news that the administration was planning to replace her with Randy Mastro that she gave in and resigned. I have said repeatedly in these commentaries, there is no reason the taxpayers of New York City should be paying for Eric Adams' accusation of sexual assault. I think it's crummy that he has to fight this from 30 years ago, but unfortunately, that's what the law allows. And if he was just a rank-and-file ordinary policeman, the bottom line is the law department would not be handling his legal defense. What he's doing is using the fact that he's the mayor and essentially in control of the city's law department to put his thumb on the scale and make sure they pay for his defense, which if you were an average rank-and-file cop 30 years ago being accused of this now, you wouldn't have that opportunity. So if this is accurate, and I don't know if it is, but the Post is citing multiple sources, if this is accurate, I not only applaud Sylvia Hines Radix for having some principles and for saying this is not the kind of thing that the city taxpayers should be paying for, but I have to wonder what Randy Mastro's position is on this.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. I didn't vote for Mayor Eric Adams, and in all likelihood, I'm not going to vote for him when he runs for re-election, if he makes it to the point of running for re-election next year. And I've been quite critical of many of the decisions that he's made. However, I think the mayor or any other public official is entitled to a certain amount of respect and to not be harassed every single moment of the day. This goes for everybody, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever the case may be, no matter how good or bad an elected official they are. Well, clearly my philosophy is not at all making its way on board certain airplanes, because a foul-mouthed flyer berated Mayor Adams on a New York-bound airplane, whining that he supports genocide in Palestine and scolding him for partying too much in a caught-on-video confrontation. Here was a little bit of the audio of what occurred on this plane from Miami to New York on Monday.
Eric Adams? Yeah, you! You support the genocide in Palestine. There are homeless people all over New York. You're always partying. You don't actually care about the citizens of New York. Why are you even in Miami? You know there are people being arrested there. People are homeless in New York. People cannot afford food. You keep cutting the education budget so you can fund the police. That's all you care about, funding the streets. Everything is underfunded because of you.
I'm trying to get the... Holding the line.
Adams was on his way back from Miami, where he attended a summit and spoke about New York's immigration crisis. The man sitting in the seat next to Adams is seen in the video standing up and using his arms to usher the yelling woman down the aisle. Adams appears to point at the woman with his thumb and says she can't fly. All the while, the woman continues to yell at Adams about the city's homelessness problems and police budget. Other people on the plane begin to yell at the woman for holding up the whole boarding process, and she eventually moves on from yelling at the mayor. Spokesperson for the mayor responded to the video saying, "Plenty of other passengers came up to the mayor Adams during the trip and expressed their opinions of support for the mayor." I think this is inexcusable. You should not treat not only the mayor like this, you should never treat another person like this. I don't know how anyone thinks it's okay to go up to a stranger and start berating them. What has happened to civility and respect in our society?
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Yesterday, I spent a little bit of time talking about the situation involving Congressman Donald Payne, and I said it didn't exactly seem like his office had been forthcoming with, or accurate for that matter, with how grave Congressman Payne's condition was after suffering a heart attack, and I felt they owed it to the public for a little truthfulness and a little disclosure about exactly how the congressman was doing. Well, unfortunately, Congressman Donald Payne passed away yesterday at the age of 65. I don't think I ever got to meet Congressman Payne, but everybody that I know that knew him described him as immensely likable. And in government, he was low-key, wasn't one of these people holding press conferences every day, trying to do these shenanigans on the House floor to get attention, but he was effective. He was a progressive six-term congressman from New Jersey who had a passion for social justice and constituent service. He has passed away at the age of 65. We want to wish the best to the congressman and his family. Here was Essex County Executive Joseph DiVincenzo talking about his recollections of Congressman Payne.
It was never about power. He always remembered his roots. He loved this city. He loved New Jersey, and he loved our country.
Payne's father, Donald Payne Sr., a lot of you may remember, was a trailblazer in New Jersey politics. When he was elected to Congress back in 1988, the winner of an open seat, after he twice challenged another congressman in a Democratic primary, he became New Jersey's first ever black representative. And following his father's death from colon cancer, Payne became a candidate for House of Representatives and won in a very tough primary. Born and raised in Newark and was always a proud son of Newark. Now, this is not likely to affect anything as far as control of the House of Representatives goes. New Jersey's 10th district is one of the most Democratic in the nation, and Payne won his first term in Congress with about 87.6% of the vote. The Republicans didn't even run anyone in the special election, and Payne defeated an independent last time around with 97.4% of the vote. So, condolences to all his friends and his family, especially his wife Beatrice and their triplets, Donald the Third, Jack, and Yvonne. I will say, though, that as sad as his passing is, this doesn't change my view on anything that transpired yesterday. I think if you are a public official and you've experienced a serious health episode that could affect how responsive you are to constituent concerns or whether you're going to be showing up for certain votes, your constituents, the people that voted for you with the expectation that you would do the job, at the very least, they deserve a little honesty. And I think they'll understand that people have health issues, they've had health issues, and they know what it's like to experience sickness and death. To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WNBC.
Local Spotlight.
Obviously, everybody's been paying a lot of attention to what's going on at Columbia University. Just yesterday, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, went to Columbia. He did a very interesting interview. I referred to it in my interview with Judge Napolitano, but he did a very interesting interview last night with John Catsimatidis and Rita Cosby on Cats and Cosby. Really interesting, gave an interesting perspective. I only had one complaint about it, and that it was a little too short. I was wanting to hear more. And I am pleased to tell you that this morning, in the 8 o'clock hour, Speaker Mike Johnson is going to be right here on 77 WABC with Sid Rosenberg. He's going to be talking about his visit to Columbia and a whole lot more. So if you want to hear more of what Mike Johnson has to say, tune in to Sid and Friends in the Morning in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. By the way, speaking of a place where if you're a fan of mine and a fan of Sid's, you could support us both. Check out the new Frank Morano merchandise at the WABC Radio Store. You can go online right now to WABCRadioStore.com. Click on personalities. They have all your favorite personalities there. And there's some brand new merchandise from me, Frank Morano, and you could purchase whatever you want, mugs, hats, shirts, t-shirts, sweatshirts, anything at all. And then if you use the promo code FRANK15, you'll save 15% off. I'm trying to get them to market some new merchandise on my behalf. I have some ideas for new merchandise, but they said to me, well, let's see how well you do selling the merchandise you already have before we put any more merchandise out. So I'm hoping a whole bunch of you, now that I've said this and asked you to, will buy this merch and they'll go and design this new merchandise that I have in mind. So check it out, WABCRadioStore.com. Use the promo code FRANK15. Hey, speaking of the situation at Columbia, though, Columbia University really has become the hottest spot in town for protesters and politicians. They're roiled in chaos over there. I'm thinking of paying a visit on Friday. I haven't decided yet to see for myself exactly what's going on there. And Republicans nationally, along with some of New York's farthest left elected officials, are seeing an opportunity to seize on this turmoil as they visit the campus one by one or in small groups for publicity. And you know, I really know that politicians are always doing their thing, and a lot of times politicians seem to have no shame, but it does seem like this is a fair amount of grandstanding here. Is that just me? I'm not saying that the people on the left and on the right that are going there don't actually believe the things that they're saying, but I do think they're a little eager to get there given the amount of news coverage this is getting.
Beam me up!
To be continued.